Why don't you turn to Mark chapter 5? Let's go there today. And I guess if I have to entitle my message, I would be called to the tombs. Called to the tombs. And in Mark chapter 5, we have a story about a man who lived in the tombs. About a man who is kind of like what I was talking about. People who are just caught in the grip of evil. This man happened to be possessed. But others who are caught in the grip of evil come against the things of God. And in Mark chapter 5, let's just read that. A story about a man who is caught in the tombs, caught in the grip of evil. And what happened in Mark chapter 5, right in verse 1. And let's begin. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, again speaking about Jesus, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there unto the mountains a great herd of swine, pigs feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down into a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked, in other words, drowned in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see to see what it was that was done. And when they had come to Jesus and see him, and they saw him that was possessed with the devil, and he had legion, who had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they saw it and told him how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee, and how he had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. All men did marvel. Isn't that a marvelous story? About a man, as we just read, who was caught in a tomb, possessed by devil, cutting himself, screaming day and night. No one could bind him. No one could hold him down. And this man was absolutely held in the grip of evil. Here comes Jesus. Imagine this. Here comes Jesus, and there's no coincidence in the things that Jesus did. He was coming right to the place of the Gadarenes. And when he got there, the man came out of the caves, just running down the hill, the slope toward Jesus, yelling and screaming at him, just coming down to him. And I know with all my heart that Jesus had a plan to save this man. There's no doubt about that. And he was called to the tombs to go to the place where not a lot of other people were willing to go. The place in the tombs. See, that's where he needed to go because there was a life there. There was someone there who was in need of help. There was someone there who was in need of salvation. So Jesus was going to the tombs. And every time that you make up your mind to go to places like the tombs, to follow the call of God, to go to places where maybe a lot of other people won't go. Oh, they'll preach here and preach on the mountaintops, and that's all good and that's wonderful. But I think sometimes we're called to the tombs. We're called to the places that no one else wants to go. Why? It's not a pretty place. It's pretty ugly and hard and dirty and a lot of junk going on there. And see, Jesus was coming there. And every time that we desire to follow the call of God, to go in the tombs where the people need Christ the most, you'll always be resisted. Jesus had to go through a storm to get there. If you read up before that, in Mark 5 in verse 30, excuse me, in Mark 4, you'll read that there was a storm came up. See, the devil doesn't want you going into the tombs, see. The devil doesn't want you following the call of God to go to those hard places, those strong places. So what's he going to try and do? somehow, some way, it's going to try to bring up a storm in your life to kind of discourage you. No, you're not going there. There's an easier route. You can take an easier route. It'll be okay. You can go here. You can go there. But you're not going to the tomb, see? Because the tomb, that's a place of those miracles. That's a place where, I mean, demons are cast out. So what's he going to try and do? Every time you follow the call of God to maybe to go to some of the hard places and speak to some of the hard people, storm's going to come up. Try to discourage you, dissuade you, get you off track, get you distracted. What do we do when that storm comes up? How well are we able to stay on focus? I think one of the things I've learned, what makes maybe, I think if I could use the term, a successful Christian, one who follows God and one who just knows his call, is that you're able to stay focused. No matter what the storm brings, no matter what situations you go through, that you don't lose your focus, you don't get so distracted that you start going over here and going over there, and all of a sudden you forgot the original call God put on your life. If you could remain focused in whatever comes your way, especially when the devil tries to throw some things at you, because he certainly will. He doesn't want you going to the tombs. He doesn't want you following the will of God for your life. So he'll try to come up with some kind of storm, maybe an intellectual storm to try to reason with you why you shouldn't go, come up with all the reasons why you shouldn't follow God or you shouldn't become a minister, all those, or maybe he'll come a heartfelt reason, all the feelings why you shouldn't go. Maybe to kind of cater to those emotions that we have or whatever situation. See, when that storm comes up and Jesus remained focused, we're going to the other side. No matter what, we're going to the other side. And I want to encourage you as you start to wind down this year and even as the summer comes and whatever your plans are, stay focused. Stay focused on the things of God. Stay focused on the call of God that he has for your life. Whatever that call may be, wherever that call may be. And many of you are called to the tombs. Those people who otherwise have no hope. Those who are caught in the grip of evil. No matter what their situation may be, stay focused. Now, I know the storms are going to come up. I know that. I know you're going to face some hard things. I know that. Keep your eyes on Christ. Don't let your head be turned to the left or right. Stay in the Word and stay in prayer and hold that call in your heart. Because sometimes when all else falls by the wayside and you have nothing left, hold value the call God gave you. Hold and value that thing God put in your heart. Because when the storm rises, our natural tendency is to look at the waves and look at the winds and maybe get a little distracted. No more. Not anymore. Not like we used to. These are different days. We're growing. We're maturing. God is doing different things in us. You stay focused on the call God has for you. No matter what. Listen to me. No matter what. No matter what. All right? The devil didn't want Jesus going to tombs, but he went through the storm and he got there. And you will be resisted. But God has a plan for you. Where? In those tombs. In those tombs. Jesus steps out of the ship, and immediately the Word of God says the man comes and cries out. The man comes out of the tombs, possessed, and he was spiritually dead and so many other things. The Word of God says in verses 3 and 4 that no change could bind him. Nobody could hold this guy. The chains broke, and nobody could tame him. Well, they probably did that stuff probably for their safety, not his. I don't think they were so concerned with that man about his health and his safety and his welfare. I think they tried to chain him down just so he wouldn't be a pain to them. But nothing would affect this man. The Word of God says no man could bind him. In other words, nobody could control him. Ever meet somebody that's out of control? Ever meet somebody, man, that no matter what you try and do, even with the greatest intentions, you can't control them? I mean, whether it be a problem that they're going through with their own attitude or rebelliousness, or you just can't control them. Oh, you see some things for their good, and you say the good things, and you pray the good things, but you just can't control them. Well, this is how this guy was. Nobody could control him. I don't know, maybe some of you guys, maybe some of you girls too. Can anybody control you before you got saved? I don't know, anybody try to control you before you got saved? Were you as crazy as I was? I mean, just doing the things and living in the world and not listening to people, not doing things what people wanted me to do. And so many people used to come to me and say, you're uncontrollable. And I used to take it as a compliment. Thank you so much. I don't want to be controlled. And no one can control, praise God. And here's this guy. And the Word of God says that the chains were broke around him. He broke all the chains that were put around him. And what that means to me is that all the boundaries that people tried to set for him were broken down. Broken down. Ever meet people that push down every boundary you try to set for them? They push down every boundary. Every time you say, well, this far, no more, they push that boundary down and they kind of do their own thing. I know a lot of people like that. And the Word of God says that nobody can tame him. He wasn't responding to anything. Just doing his own thing. Just not responding to anything. Well, I've known a whole lot of people like that who just don't respond when you try to be nice or try to speak the word. You're just not listening. And nothing can change them and nothing can hold them. And I know a lot of people like that. And the Word of God says also in verse 5 that this man day and night was consistently in the tombs in his dead place. And the Word of God says he was crying day and night. The word literally means he was screaming and shrieking, terrorizing people. And nobody would come close to him. See, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people too who live in the tombs who cry and shriek and terrorize people. And the whole purpose is to keep people away. They don't let people get too close. Imagine some man in a cave crying and screaming and doing all these things, and no one wanted to get near him. That's exactly what I believe what he wanted. You know, sometimes we too, we cry and shriek, and we get real good at pushing people away. We get real good at sometimes even pushing the things of God away, because maybe we don't want to hear it. And this man, maybe, I don't know what his issues was outside of his possession, but there's a lot of people who cause a whole lot of scene, who shriek and cry and do all these things to make you go away, to not receive your love, to not receive the word of God you want to give. And some people have gotten really good at pushing other people away. I don't know, we got to look at something, have we? Have we sometimes gotten really good at pushing people away? Maybe we got our share of crying and screaming and doing what our thing is to keep people away. We keep people at arm's distance. And we really don't want them to get that close. We'll let them get so far, but we're really not going to let them get close to my heart. Because sometimes we have a real problem with giving and receiving love. And here's this man just pushing people away. Nobody could get close to him. Nobody could even speak with him. Nobody. And worse than that, the Word of God said he was cutting himself with stones, cutting himself. In other words, all his behavior was self-destructive. All the things that he was doing was self-destructive. And how many people do we know who are into self-destructive behavior? They may not be actually, well, a lot of people are cutting themselves. They call it self-mutilation syndrome, where they cut themselves and draw blood and cut themselves. Maybe some other people have a lot of other self-destructive behaviors, drinking and drugging and sexuality and so many other things that are self-destructive that are causing such an effect on the inside, just hurting. And man, this guy fit the mold. And I know that he's representative of even so many other people that didn't do that. It's a mark of a life in the tombs. And here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. The Word of God says this man saw him afar off. And he ran down to this slope. He ran down to this place and he saw Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Here comes Jesus. Oh, thank you for Jesus. Have you ever been in that dark place? Have you ever been in that storm? And right in the middle of that storm, here comes Jesus with a word, a prayer, a piece of hope, something to let you know that it's going to be okay, to let you know that he loves you, to let you know that somehow, some way, he's working things out. And Jesus comes to the man. And the man confronts him and starts to fall at his feet and he starts to talk to the Lord. And the Lord says one thing, verse 8, he says, "You, devil, come out of him. Come out of him." He speaks to that devil, all that legion devil. Come out of him, praise God. Thank you, Jesus, that he goes right there. He didn't fool around with his word. Come out of him. Get out of him. And the Word of God said, that's in verse 8, Jesus always has power over the enemy. No matter how dark it seems, no matter what it looks like, when Jesus speaks his word, I tell you, the world bows and the enemy's got to bow before Jesus. He set those words to set the man free and to deliver him out of life in the tombs. That's what the Word of God does. That's why Jesus is there, to deliver us from life out of the tombs. It's not the will of God to live in the tombs, no. That's the devil's work, to keep us in the tombs. But he speaks a word, and he speaks a word of freedom. Come out. He speaks a word of life to this man who was, all he knew was bondage in the tombs. And here comes Jesus. That's why it's so important, my people, listen to me, that sometimes if your call of God, that you follow that call where? Into the tombs. Why? God wants you to speak a word to those who are lost in the tombs, those who are cutting themselves, those who are in self-destructive behavior, those who come against the things of God, those who don't look good, those who don't smell good, those who are dead, lost, and dying, held by the grip of evil in the tombs. That's where God's going to send you. But don't barter with God when that call comes. Say, God, I don't want to go there. I'd rather go on a mountaintop, God. How about if I do this over here? No. You don't have to be afraid of the tombs or worried about it. No, God will give you a word. Why? There's people in there that need to be saved. There's people in there that need to be held free from the grip of Satan. That's why he's calling you to the tombs. That's why. And you know what's crazy sometimes? The tombs may be across from your kitchen table. The tombs may be somebody you know in your family. The tombs may be maybe when you're sent on a mission trip to Harrisburg or another town here in PA or wherever you live. Maybe the tombs might be across the ocean. I don't know. See, but wherever people are lost and dead and dying and held by the grip of Satan, that's where the tombs are. And maybe, maybe, maybe you're the one that's going to go into those tombs, those dead places, and speak life. And speak life. And yeah, you may be offended by the tombs, and you may say, God, this is a hard place. Absolutely. But see, you know what I found out? That in the tombs, that's where the life is. That's where he brings his life. So maybe, I don't know, maybe, when you leave this place, maybe if you're willing to say, God, you know what, Lord God, send me to the tombs, God. If that's your will for me, God, you send me to the tombs, God. Just give me those words to speak, God, to set the captives free. And he will certainly use you. Jesus said to that man, come out of him. Come out of him. Come out of him. He set the man free, to set the captives free. I tell you, life in the tomb was no match for life in Christ. No match for life in Christ. And I don't know about a lot of you guys here, but have you ever been in the tombs? Have you ever, maybe you were some of the ones who were living in the tombs. I don't know. I can relate some things in my life where I was absolutely living in the tombs. No doubt about it. Until he spoke a word of life. It was amazing. I was on the phone last night. I called a friend I haven't seen for a long time. And it happened to be the man and woman who the Lord used to get us saved in 1985 in New Jersey. And all I could say to this man was thank you. Thank you. We've become good friends and we worked together long years. But all I kept saying to him was thank you. Thank you that you went into the tombs where I was in 1985 and you spoke a word of life. And it changes everything. It changes everything. Jesus called this man out of the tombs. And when I read that, I can only see when Jesus spoke, called two other men out of the tombs. Remember, he went to a man named Lazarus one time, who was in the tombs, bound, gagged, stone rolled over. What did he do? Come out! Lazarus, come forth. See, the power of the tomb had to give up what it had. Why? To the life of Christ. Now, everybody thought Lazarus was dead and gone. Come on. Even the sister said, hey, he stinketh by now. I mean, in other words, it's all over. Come on, there's no hope. The tomb is closed. He's dead. He stinks. He's wrapped in the grave. Come on, it's all over. See, I can relate to that because a lot of people thought my life was all over. And maybe somebody thought your life was all over, that you were beyond hope. Maybe the things you were doing, the things you were thinking, the things you were who you were hanging out with, maybe you were beyond hope. But Jesus spoke to the tombs where maybe you were, maybe where I was. And he called us out. That's why we live and breathe today. That's why you have a future and a hope today. Because he called you out. And we heard that cry. We responded. When he cried out, Lazarus, all the power of the tomb melted. All the power of the grip of evil melted. Why? A word from God came. Come out. Come forth, Lazarus. And he came out and death lost its sting. Why? Word of God. Word of God. I look at you, another man that came out of the tombs. And maybe it wasn't a physical tomb, but it was a spiritual tomb. Remember a guy named Paul? Remember Paul on that Damascus road? Paul lived in the tombs. Oh, he was a Pharisee. And he thought he was doing good. He lived in the tombs. He lived in the tombs. Remember on that road to Damascus? Jesus appeared to him and it just knocked him on the ground. Saying, Paul, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I remember when we read that, turn there. I want to show you something. In Acts chapter 9, I want to show you something about this. Talk about going into the tombs. In Acts chapter 9, look what the Lord arranged for Paul, who was Saul back then. In verse 10, Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Now remember, Paul was knocked to the ground. He couldn't see. He had to be led into Damascus. Look at verse 10. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And the Word of God says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Now look at what the Lord says to him in verse 11. He says, arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now look what Ananias' response was to the Lord's calling Ananias to go put his hands on Paul. Look what he says, verse 13. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from chief priests to bind all that call upon his name. In other words, Ananias was saying to the Lord, I don't want to go. I heard about this, Paul. He's crazy. He killed people. I knew people that he killed. He might even chop my head off and kill me with a sword. I don't want to go. It's a little dangerous, a little hard. I don't want to go. Come on, can't I stay here and pray for him? You know, I'll fast for him. You know, but I don't want to go. You know, sometimes we go to a plan B when we don't like God's plan A, you know. All right, God, let me do plan B. I'll pray, I'll send money, I'll do something, but I don't want to go, God, you know. And God said, no, I want you to go. Ananias didn't want to go. What changed his mind? Look at verse 15. Look what God said to Ananias about Paul. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. What did God say to Ananias? He told him of Paul's purpose. Paul has a purpose. I'm going to use this man. See, when you go into the tombs and speak the word of God, you got to understand something. God is working out a purpose. You may be speaking to another Paul. You may be speaking to somebody who's going to have such an effect on people or a situation. That's why you go. And you got to see people differently. You got to see them not like Paul. He's going to chop my head off. No, they have a purpose in God. And maybe God will use you just like he used someone else to help you with your purpose. He may use you to help someone else with their purpose, their walk in God. But it's not going to happen if you don't go into the tombs. And God said one other thing to Paul in verse 16. He told him of Paul's purpose, but look at verse 16. For I will show him how many great things he must suffer for my name's sake. God also showed Ananias the cost that Paul was about to pay. The cost. And that changed Ananias. He saw Paul's purpose. He saw the cost and price Paul would have to pay for that calling. And in verse 17, and Ananias went into the way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee, in the way that thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightst receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Way to go, Ananias. You didn't back off. You pressed in, Ananias. You did it. And because of that, look at the fruit that we still talk about today. By someone who's willing to go into the tombs where Paul was and speak the word of God. Wow. That's awesome. That's powerful. That's earth-shattering. That's tremendous. That's the power of God in work, my people. And that's what he wants to do with us. To send us maybe to those places, maybe to those people that maybe are the Pauls, the Lazaruses, the man at the Gadarenes. Who's going to go if we don't go? Who's going to go if you don't fulfill that call to sometimes ride into the tombs? Amen? And he went into those places, those tombs. And you know what I was thinking too? Said, you know, Jesus is amazing. When he cast the devil, all the legion, out of that man, the people came back and they came to see. And they found a man sitting with Jesus. They found a man clothed. He wasn't naked anymore. They found him clothed and found him in his right mind. And the Word of God says, when they saw him sitting with Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind, the Word of God says, they got afraid. Then they were afraid. Oh, man, get somebody saved and change him. You'll shake up a whole lot of people, amen? They got afraid when they found him sitting and clothed in his right mind. But they told Jesus, would you get out of here? Would you go? Would you depart? And they were afraid, and I thought about that. I said, Lord, why did you send all those legions, the demons, into those swines? And when you read the commentaries, there are many. Oh, there's hundreds of commentaries about why Jesus decided to send the legion of the demons into the swine. But I believe, when God spoke to me, I believe there's something so simple that we're missing here. And I want to share this with you. I think there's a message in the pigs. And I think one thing that God wanted to do is if people came back, and they people who owned the pigs, they found out, oh, they ran into the ocean and they all drowned. And they came back, and all the people in the city, they were mad at Jesus. Jesus, get out of here. Depart from us. Go. And I was thinking about that. So it was amazing. They saw the man, they saw the pigs dead in the water. And then they saw the man sitting and covered and clothed in his right mind. He wasn't a maniac anymore. He wasn't possessed anymore. He was whole and saved. See, their whole focus was off. They were more concerned with the pigs than they were for that man. They were more concerned with their ways to make money than they were for the health and healing of that man. And I think one of the reasons why Jesus allowed those demons to go into those pigs was to show us and even try to teach them that, what's your priority? What's the most important thing to you? The material possessions that we own? The things that we could see, touch, and feel? Or is it people? You know, I saw that man clothed and sitting with Jesus in his right mind, I hope I would celebrate that. I hope I'd go, wow, that's wonderful. Jesus, stay here. Let me go get others of my family who are possessed or sick or need a touch from you. And let me follow you, God. Look at the miracle you've done, God. Rather than say, oh, man, Jesus, you killed my pigs. How am I going to make a buck now? You know what I mean? Oh, Lord, you know, there go the pigs, and I don't know what I'm going to do now. And listen. I know we have to walk wisely with money and things like that, but I think he's trying to tell people, what's your priority? What are you really, really focused on? You really focused on those pigs? And God says, you get more pigs. But what about this man in front of you who's now whole and healed and sane in his right mind? See, sometimes our eyes look differently. Sometimes maybe we see the pigs in our life. Let me explain that. Sometimes when God does miracles, sometimes we see what we don't have. Or maybe we see the cost that is going to mean something to us. And we say, God, I don't know about that. And Jesus always comes back to us and says, what about the people? If you learn anything today, even as you graduate, even as you go, whatever you do, remember one thing. Remember one thing. It's always about the people. Not about the things. Not about the possessions. It's not about those things. Christ was focused on one thing, you and me and all those who read in the Bible. He came to save the world. What's the world? The world is not the earth, the planet, the people. The people. When Jesus walked this earth, he touched and he held and he held and he spoke to and he embraced and he healed. It was always about the people. And I believe one of the reasons why he let those legions of angels go into those pigs was to show us, what are you more concerned about? What's really gripping your heart? Do you have a love to get people to be saved and see their plight apart from salvation? Or are you so interested in the pigs? Are you so interested in all those material, physical things that will distract you from God's original purpose for you? And sometimes we got to stop and say, God, you know what? Get my priorities right, God. Get my life right, God. Get my heart like your God. I remember one time we spoke about alignment. I forget what we were speaking about, but we spoke about alignment. And we talked about a car alignment. I think it was a few months ago. That, you know, when you drive a car, one of the problems, when the car is out of line, the front wheels are going in two different directions. And that's why the car gets bumpy, and that's why it doesn't ride right. But you bring it to a shop, and they say they align the two tires. In other words, they make them point the same way. And when they point the same way, that's where the car goes good and there's no problems. We have to align our thoughts with Christ. We have to align our priorities with Christ. If our priorities are off from Christ, we're going to go in a different direction. And the whole ride is going to be a little bumpy. No, God, align my heart with you, God. It's not about my comfort. It's not about my this, my that. It's about your people, Lord God. So use me, Lord God, to go into those tombs, God, and speak. See, Jesus disturbed their life. Wow. And that's okay when he does that. It's okay when Jesus disturbs your life. It's okay. That means he's got a better life he wants you to live. Amen? And he disturbed their life. That human value far surpasses material possession. That self-interest has got to take second place for concern for others, especially their salvation. To hear, you know, it's one thing we always want to hear about, the miracles and the blessings and the power. And, you know, I get all these things in the mail about, you know, how to grow a church and how to do this. And come to this conference, we're going to teach you how to be a prophet. We're going to teach you how to have blessings. We're going to teach you how to speak from the mountaintops. We're going to speak you how to be prosperous and all these things. You know what I want to say? I want to say a conference. How to be dead. I want to see a conference. Repentance for the next 5 years. I want to see a conference. Life in the tombs. That's what I want to see. Seeing all these conferences, and I'm not demeaning them. They have their place, and they're packed out, and hundreds of people going to these things. But what about the foundation of our walk? What about the things that really mean something? If God wants you to speak on a mountaintop, He'll do that. You trust Him. Don't seek it. You do that. You trust God. Whatever you have, you got to trust. Whatever you have, you'll have it because of Christ. Whatever you don't have, you won't have it because of Christ. Give Him your life. Whatever He allows to come in or come out of your life, give Him control of that. Seek Him, absolutely. And all these other things will be added to you. But let's go to the tombs, guys. I mean, in these days, when all hell is breaking loose in this world, and it's about to get harder and more things are going to happen, what about the Jesus loves you and gets you saved? Go into those tombs, those places where He disturbs our life. The Word of God says, make sure that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And the Word of God says in Isaiah 45, I want you to read this, turn there. I want this to be your scripture for the day. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verse 3. That if we're willing to go into the tombs, what will God do? If we're willing to go into the tombs and proclaim the word of Christ, look what God will do. Isaiah 45, verse 3. And the Lord says, I will give thee, now mark this down, I will give thee the treasures of where? Of darkness. And hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. I will give thee the treasures of darkness. In those dark places, in the tombs, there's treasures. What are they? People. Lives. Hearts that beat for the Lord. He says, I'll give you those treasures. Treasures out of darkness to let you know that I am the Lord. See, that's where I want my treasures to be in heaven. And I believe with all my heart that when we get to heaven that, yeah, there'll be streets paved with gold and crystal seas, and that's going to be absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. But that's not going to be my treasure. I want my treasure to be the people that I've known, people that God has used me to bring salvation to, my family, my wife. It's going to be my treasures in heaven. And I want a whole lot of treasures in heaven. It's not going to be about gold and silver. It's going to be at hearts and souls and people. That's your treasure. That's your treasure. Oh, under Jesus Christ, and I'll be with Him. You are each other's treasure. Start to see differently. Start to ask God to maybe change your heart and see differently. And this man, when he was saved, when he was in, the Word of God says this man proclaimed Christ, and he wanted to go with Jesus. He tried to get in a boat with Jesus. Tried to get his leg over the boat and tried to get in. And Jesus says, ho, ho, ho. And the man says, I want to go with you, Lord. Look what you've done for me. You saved me. You freed me. You delivered me, Lord. And Jesus says, hold on a second. This is what I want you to do. Yes, Lord. I want you to go home. I want you to go to your friends and family. I want you to go where you used to live. And I want you to go proclaim my word. And he had a calling to go into different tombs. And the Word of God says he went there, he proclaimed Jesus Christ in Decapolis, this group of cities. And the Word of God says, all men marveled. Thank you, Jesus. All men stopped in their tracks. All men marveled at the goodness of Jesus Christ. Why? Because somebody who used to live in the tombs was now set free, praise God. And he was speaking the Word of God. How do you think this man preached? Do you think he went to the people in the capital and says, excuse me, everybody. I just want to tell you that the Lord saved me and he healed me and I was dead, but I'm alive. I don't think he did it like that. I think this man was ignited. I think he had dynamite in his blood. I think he went to Capus and said, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. I was in the tombs. I was dead. I had no life. I got the scars from cutting myself and I pushed people away. But he spoke to me and set me free. And let me tell you how he can set you free, because he loves you so much. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And all men marveled. That's how he spoke. Let the word of God ignite you. Ignite you. No more business as usual. No more just being an okay Christian. Because you know what? When we were lost, we were in the tombs too. Amen? And God called us all out. Let's go publish his name. Let's go preach his name. Let's go realize where we came from. And if God is calling you, listen to me. If God is calling you to the people who are caught in the grip of hell, who are caught in the grip of Satan, whether they be heavy metal music or drugs or rage or prostitution, whatever it may be, you go to them. You go to them. Don't worry about the mountaintop. You go to them. And you speak the word of life. And when you speak the word of life, God is the one who will save them. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something. You will have treasures. You will have treasures as if nothing else in this world could bring it to you. You will have treasures of souls. You have treasures of a calling of life that you've never had before. Allow God to apprehend your heart today. And if it be so, let the prayer be, Lord, send me to the tombs. Wherever that is, God. Wherever you tell me that where they are, God. Whether it's across my kitchen table or across the ocean, God. I'm going because you saved me from the tombs, God. And I want to go proclaim, just like this man, all the good things you've done for me. And how you had compassion on me. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me treasures out of darkness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give him a praise and say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God.